And it was fascinating for me to see how much importance the rest of God really has. Even when you go to the Old Testament, like in Isaiah 30:15, there God says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." It's like repentance and rest, salvation through repentance and rest. It's like we're so used to repent and you're saved. And it's like, wow, repentance and rest. Then I found another passage we know so well, and where Moses is leaving with God's people, and he says, "God, you have to go with us. I'm not going to take your angel. I need you to go with us." And God says to him, and that's in Exodus 33:14, and God says to him, "My presence will go with you." That's what he wanted. That's all he wanted. And then he says, "And I will give you rest." He didn't even ask for that. And God says, "I will go with you, and I will give you rest." Again, God is really emphasizing the importance of rest. In the New Testament, we all know when Jesus talks in Matthew 11, and he says, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We quote this all the time, right? It says, "You will find rest for your souls." Now, I think there's different layers to this rest. Once, when we don't know God, we can't find peace. We need rest for our souls. And of course, the Old Testament talked about finding rest in salvation. Maybe you can put up that D one. Can make it bigger? See, when we don't know God, our heartbeat is very different from God's heartbeat. In this case, you see two waves. Now, one represents God's heartbeat, you know, sound wave, and the other one represents a person's heartbeat. And those two waves are opposites. They're as far apart as they can be. Of course, we want our heart to beat in sync with God's. We want those waves to be identical. But these two waves are as much opposite as they can be. When we don't know God, our hearts beat very differently from God's heart. I'm just amazed, even when I come here and I turn the TV on, and it's like, wow, this is everything that's acceptable these days. Everything that's okay, and it's like, unbelievable. How far away is the world's heartbeat really from God's heartbeat? And D2. What's the result when those two waves come together? And this is actually physics. It's called destructive interference. On the top, you see the resulting wave that happens when those two heartbeats come together. God's heartbeat can't go any further. It's actually, they cancel each other out, those two waves. So somebody who does not know God, who is far from God, God's heartbeat is stopped right there and then. Can't go any further. That's why there's so many dark places in this world. Because God's heartbeat cannot go on. And you know, waves, when your wave is released, it goes on until all eternity. It goes on and on and on. But God's heartbeat is stopped. And Mali is a good example for that, and many other places in this world where you don't see much of God's heartbeat. But God promised in the Old Testament, when we have a heart of stone, it's really hard to beat. I don't know, have you ever had it? If you hold a stone, it's very hard for that to move, right? And God gave this promise in the Old Testament already. I will take your heart of stone. I'll take it out and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a soft heart. So we cannot, our heartbeat can never be in sync with God's if we don't know God. Because he wants us to give us a heart of flesh. And then once we have a heart of flesh, our heart can start beating in sync with his. And that doesn't happen in a moment. Yes, he gives you the heart in a moment, but it takes time. In our microwave society, we want everything right now and here. Just doesn't happen that way. After all, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. No microwave God. Probably a good thing. But God wants us to enter into his rest. Jesus said, I will give you rest. In Hebrews 4, there's a whole paragraph where God talks about his rest. He says, the promise of entering my rest is still there. It's available to you. You can come and you can lie in my arms and you can listen to my heartbeat. But your heart is not going to slow down and beat in sync with God's in a moment. He says, my promise is there. I want you to come and find rest in my arms. In Hebrews 4, that was verse 1. In verse 10, it says, for anyone who enters God's rest, also rests from the works, just as God did from his. When we are in his arms, that's not the time to, I don't know, preach or memorize verses or do whatever. That's not the time. It says you need to rest from your works. I cannot have my arms around him and my head on his torso doing something else. It's impossible. No, your arms, for them to be open, you know, can't hold anything in your hands. There's nothing you can do when your arms are both outstretched. All you can do is just listen and keep your mouth shut, probably. It's good too. You really can't hear his heartbeat if you talk all the time. You need to just listen. We're so used to doing. We have to do this. Busy. That we don't even take this time. We're so busy with everything life demands of us that we forget to come into his arms and just listen and let our heartbeat slow down. Before it even can be in sync with God's heartbeat, we're already often, sorry, God, I have so much to do. I don't have time. I just love in Song of Solomon, we see the lover and the Shulamite, and the lover is compared to a deer jumping, and he's all excited because he's going to meet with his beloved. And he goes all the way to her door and tries to get in, and he knocks at the door, and his hand takes the handle, and he talks about the perfume, his mirror and everything on his hands, and he calls to her his beloved. And we read that she's kind of tired. She has already gotten ready to go to bed. She's tired, and it's like, oh, no. Do I want to get up now? Do I want to really go get up, open the door? And she hesitates. You know, it's not part of her schedule that day. She hasn't written in her agenda, you know. She wants to go to bed. It's time. And finally, she thinks of her beloved, and she thinks how wonderful he is and everything. And she's like, okay, I'll go spend time with him. And she goes to the door and opens the door, and he's gone. And all that remains is just a perfume, just the smell of him. And she missed her opportunity. And then she has to go search. She's still not going to bed. She has to go search for him and ask, where is he? Have you seen him? God just says, come, you know, open the door. Just come to me, come into my arms. Find rest in my arms. Yes, everything we do and you do and I do, it's important. But what's really most important? You know, over the last few years, my values have really changed quite a bit since I went to Africa. What seemed so important in the past is just not that important anymore. Because we see in his word over and over, you know, what we do in our own strength just has no value in God's eyes. What we build ourselves is really doesn't have eternal value. But what we build in with him, that's really what has value forever. So as we lie in his arms and we say, God, let my heart beat like yours. He'll say, be still and know that I am God. Just be still for a moment. And this word know is a very intimate word. It's like Adam knew Eve, you know, and they had children. It's like, be with me, be still and know me. You can't know somebody if you don't take time with the person. God says, be still, just know me, just know me. Just be, just know me. I'm not talking about doing something, just know me, just be. And it takes time for heart rate to go down. You know, when we exercise or something, heart rate goes way up. It's not going to go down in 10 seconds. God, I don't have any more time. Time's up. It says, no, stay, be still and know me. Let your heart rate come down. Let your heart, give yourself even a chance for your heart rate to be in sync with mine. We're asking God things to do and we're not even giving him a chance to fulfill our heart's desires because we're not in his arms, letting him sink our hearts. He says, make every effort to enter into that rest. That's what it says in verse 11. Make every effort. This should be your first priority. Make every effort to enter into my rest, to come into my arms. It shouldn't be last priority. It should be first priority. And you come to him and your heart beats so much faster than his. And then you can pray like David, Psalm 139 at the end. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me. Show me, Lord, what is it that keep my heartbeat from going down, from synchronizing with yours? Show me, Lord. And maybe his answer is, don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Don't worry about how you're going to pay your bills. Don't worry about this and that. I'm going to take care of you. Just search me. Just search me. Search me and I'll give you everything else. You know, that's what God's saying. Why, the pagans run after all these things. Why are you so worried? You know, if he's really our good heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us, why don't we believe what he's saying? Why don't we believe that he's truly going to take care of us? Well, we need to know him, and then it's not even going to be a question. It's not even going to be a question. We need to know him. And there have been times, even in Mali, you know, when, you know, money is up and down, and we've never had more than a third of what we need, you know, come in where we know it's coming. But when I'm tempted to be worried, you know, then I have to first remind myself, you know, why am I worried? First of all, it's God's work. It's his kids, it's his people. He's going to take care of them. It's not my responsibility. And I take a step to the side and say, great God, your job, not mine. You'll take care of it. And then we have our weekly prayer meeting, which is my favorite time, and we just come and just start worshiping God. And then we forget about all the needs we have and everything. And after 2 hours, it's like, oops, we never actually asked God for anything. But God knows, you know. God knows what we need. God knows our needs. And we'll just keep loving him and let him take care of the rest. Or maybe you're worried when you hear all the news these days, you know, we already prayed for what's going on in the world. I mean, I can only say Jesus is coming back soon, obviously. But Jesus said, you know, at the end, when all these catastrophes are happening and people will actually get heart attacks out of fear of what's going on. And right now, things are far from here, but, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen next week? I know I'm staying with my grandmother right now here in Vienna, and she's not a believer, and she's as far from God as you can imagine. But when the news first came out of Japan, especially the atomic stuff, she was so afraid. She was so afraid, even though it's on the other side of the world. And we're going to come into a season where people are literally going to die out of fear. Why? Because they have no hope. They have nowhere to turn. But we have such a great hope. We have such a great hope to give them. You know, we are safe. You know, if 1,000 fall on my right side, 10,000 on my left side, all the pestilence and everything going on, he's right there with me. He said, I'm going to be with you until the end of the of time, end of age, wherever you go in the world, even in Mali, even in Timbuktu, one of the most occult cities in the world I've ever been to. God's going to be right there. Whatever happens around us, God's right there with you. And he's not surprised and he's not shocked and he's not unable to protect you. So when we're in his presence, you know, why should there be any worry about anything? Why should there be any worry? If he is who he says he is, then there's no worry. And our heartbeat can slow down to beat in sync with his. Maybe you're worried because you're sick. Oh, you can turn it off. I'm going to come to the other ones soon. Or maybe you're not falling into his arms because you're sick and it's just so hard. Or you're worried about being sick and whatever the doctor said. But, you know, we pray always as in heaven, so on earth. Is there any sickness in heaven? I don't think so. We're seated in heavenly places. Ever heard that? If you're seated in heavenly places where there's no sickness, then sickness cannot stay in our bodies. They have no right to be there. It's not God's plan. It's not God's intention for you. So how are we going to find healing? How is that sickness going to flee from us? Well, maybe God's heartbeat just has to beat through us. Maybe we just need to listen to his heartbeat and let him flow through us, waves of his heart, waves of healing in heavenly places, in his arms, where no sickness can stay, no sickness can stand God's presence. And maybe, you know, if you're physically, you know, not able to do that for long, well, maybe every day you can do it a little longer, and you're getting better and better. Healing is not always instantaneous. But there's no healing with God, no sickness with God. There's no sickness in heaven. It's not God's plan for you. I hate sickness, and God hates it, and he wants you healed. If you're sick, the best place to be is at church. Sorry, but I think so. Come to his presence and let him heal you. And then your heart rate can go down and until it's in sync with God's heart rate. And if it's still not slowing down, then ask again like David, search me, God. Test me, examine me, show me what is it that keeps my heart rate from being in sync with yours. And God is always faithful to answer that question. If you like it or not. If you don't want to hear it, then it's a different story. But if you truly want to hear, then maybe suddenly you're thinking of a person that you're angry with or that upset you and that you don't ever want to see again. You know, you ever had any like that? I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I have. You check your emails and you get an email from a person. Suddenly your heart rate goes way up. And it's like, I don't want to open that email. Gosh, I'm so tired sometimes of getting emails. I used to be, you know, I have to be online all the time. And I was like, I just don't want to be online anymore. But when your heart rate goes up because you get an email from this person, you don't want to read it. It's like, okay, alarm bells are ringing. Something's going on. Maybe I have a problem with this person. Maybe I need to forgive. Maybe I need to forgive that person. Because God said, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. We can't afford having bitterness and unforgiveness towards anyone, whatever that person did to you. God's forgiven you everything. How can you not forgive somebody else who is messed up, who did something, whether it's big or small? God's forgiven you so much. You cannot afford not to forgive other people. I have to walk in loving, in peace and love and forgiveness at all times. As that name comes up, you know, the Bible says, if you have a problem with somebody, just leave your gift right there. Go, clear it up, talk, get it all out, you know, forgive. And then you can come back, and then you can bring your offering to God. He says, do everything that's in your power to do. We can only control what we can do. What the other person does, that's that person's problem. That's not ours. But God, the Bible says, do everything you can do. The Bible even says, you know, that actually, I don't know if you knew, but in Hebrew thinking, your enemy is somebody you haven't talked to for a while. I forgot how many, there's a specific amount of time, but I can't remember how much that is. But an enemy is somebody you haven't talked to in a while. That puts it in a whole different perspective. Because we don't want to talk to these people who've hurt us. We don't want to talk to these people we're angry with. And the Bible says, you know, your enemies, what do? You love them. You heap blessings on them. And you keep doing, they don't know what to do with that. And maybe your enemy will become your friend. Again or not again. I'm just going to quickly share a little story that I went to Bible school in America. And I was in this one church and it was a wonderful place, but some things were really not good. And it came to a point where a group of people that in the church was considered rebellious, and the church leadership turned against those people, and I was part of that group. And I was wondering, what have I done? You know, what have I done? Why? And there was nothing was ever talked about. Everything was, you know, behind your back. And pastor was even preaching from the pulpit against that. It was a really, really bad situation. A lot of people were hurt. And to this day, there's people from that group that don't even go to church. And that was 9 years ago. And as I left there, and the pastor would not talk to me. He refused to talk to me, his wife. And my heart was broken because I'm a very loyal person. I love the place. And I never understood what I did wrong to deserve that. And I was broken and left to go to Africa without their blessing, and, you know. But a year later, when I came back to visit, I went there again. Because I'd been there for 2 years in that place. And I tried to see the pastor and his wife and to tell them that I love them and that I'm thanking them for everything their church has put into me. And they wouldn't see me, wouldn't, you know. The next year, I would come back again to tell them. And after a while, one day, the pastor's wife came out to see me, and I told her, I love you. Thank you for everything you've put into me. And everything I see in Mali today is also thanks to your church. The next time I came, the pastor himself came out, and I told him the same thing. Well, now they support me. They support us financially. And it's like, everything's like if it had never happened. And it's not, and it's just because I kept coming back and loving on them and telling them I love you. And it's just amazing, you know, the power of loving and forgiving and walking in forgiveness. Some of these other people, they will never, ever go to that church. You know, they don't even want to go to any church. But I can't afford to live that way because they are losing. They're missing out on what God has for them in their lives. They're not walking in towards their destinies. I can't afford doing that. So God says, just leave your offering, clear it up, do what you can. And there's other people in my life that suddenly turned against me. It is just really weird to me. And everything I do doesn't make a difference. It doesn't always work that way. But that's not my problem. That's theirs. And I can just love them and tell them I love them. And their response is up to them. But everything I can do to walk in forgiveness, I will do. And then my heart rate can slow down until it's in sync with God's heart rate. You know, I found an interesting passage on that too. In 1 John 3, we all know it talks about love. And he actually says, we cannot even come into the rest of God if we don't love. You know, when we have unforgiveness and we hate people, that's not love. We cannot come into his rest if we don't love. It says in action and in truth. That's 1 John 3, 18 and 19. So again, we're in his arms. We say, God, let my heart rate just slow down to be in sync with yours. Search me, try me, examine me, show me, Lord, what keeps my heart rate from coming in sync with yours? And then maybe God shows you a habit that's not very good, some sin in your life, some impurity. Because God's an holy God. You know, we cannot come with impurities to him. But you know, Jesus has paid the price already. Jesus paid the price so we could be pure and holy and blameless before him. That's so amazing. I just love it. Isn't that amazing? Were you excited? Not very much. I'm excited. I'm excited that I'm pure, blameless before him. Beautiful. White dress, whatever I've done, anything that's happened to me, it doesn't matter to God. It's forgiven. He threw it into the sea of forgetfulness, whatever. It's gone forever. He doesn't remember. We remember. The enemy remembers, and he tries to make us remember. Say, hey, look at that, what you did. Look what happened to you. You can't think God can use you. You don't think God, you know, really cares for you. Don't listen. It's not what God says. God says, I've forgiven you. I've cleansed you. You're holy. The way is open. Jesus has paid the price. You're washed by his blood. You can come. You can run and jump onto his lap. Because Jesus paid the price. Nothing can keep you from going to God. Just tell him an enemy to shut up and leave. And just run to your heavenly Father. You're pure, blameless. And if he shows you something that's not right, just repent right there and then and ask God to forgive you and he'll cleanse you and then you go. It doesn't take that long. If it's something you're struggling with, then the Bible says go confess it to somebody, you know. Open up, humble yourself and confess it to somebody you trust. And then God, it says God will heal you. Sometimes we do need other people's help. God has put us into community for a reason. And then you can go and run into his arms. You know, his arms are always open. Even if you have to ask for forgiveness 100 times for the same thing, he just wants you to run into his arms. And as you're in his arms, you know, that in his heartbeat, the waves of the sound of his heartbeat just flow through you. He just washes you clean with every heartbeat. You're more clean and more clean and more holy, holy, holy. And your heartbeat slows down to be more and more in sync with him. It says, be still, know me, know me, know me. I'm a holy God. It says, be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. He just wants you to look at his eyes, look at his beauty. Just let his love flow through you. And you might not even notice. Suddenly, those things are gone. And it's like, whoa, that was easy. How did that happen? Struggled with all my life and all it took was coming to him. And wow. We make things, sometimes we make things so much more complicated than they are. Really, if we found rest in God, there would so many things would take care of themselves. I'm convinced of that. And I myself, I'm just learning to live that way and walk that way. And because I used to be so busy because of my broken home, you know, it's like, I don't want to be home. What can I do? And even as a teenager, it's just getting us involved in so many things. And I loved doing everything, you know, I loved it. I just didn't want to be home. And it was great. And then I came to know the Lord at the age of 20. And now, instead of doing things in the world, suddenly did everything in church. And I was busy in church, doing so many things. And, you know, I never had time to really think about the state I was in, what's going on in my life, or just, you know, never took time to come to Him, and, you know, and let Him show me the way He sees me and let Him slow down my heartbeat because, you know, sometimes it's too painful to really look at where we're at. In my case, it was. But my heartbeat never really beat in sync with God's heartbeat. Yes, there were moments, but not on a permanent basis. I did not know what rest was, and I would have needed a message like that by then. But God says, make an effort to enter that rest. God's actually saying, I need a resting place. Where can I find rest? There's this song, I don't know if you sing it here, about God's resting place, where He's asking, where can I find rest? It's Acts 7:49, it's actually quoted from the Old Testament. It says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me? Where will my resting place be? You know, in the Old Testament, God's resting place was in the ark. It was in the temple. But today he's moved house. He's moved into us. And he's looking for a resting place. Not a place where he comes down and then we move. And it's like, whoa, that was a very short rest. No, he wants a resting place. He wants to rest upon you. We read over and over, God's Spirit rested on him and his glory rest. And yes, it's a different rest, but it's rest. You know, God wants to settle down on us. His presence wants to settle down on us. He wants a resting place. He wants you to be His resting place. His temple for His presence. K1. When our heart rate just slows down. And all those things that kept our heart rate from going down. When our heart rate goes down as we are in His arms. And more and more in sync with God. And that second wave moves more and more. Come closer and closer to God's heart rate. Until all you can hear is just one wave, one heartbeat. And as those two heart rates come together and there's just one heartbeat you hear, then suddenly, K2, God's heart rate is amplified through yours. It's called constructive interference in physics. God's heart rate gets amplified, and all you hear is it's getting louder and even more powerful. We make God's heart rate more powerful, His heartbeat more louder, more powerful. Isn't that amazing? And we amplify God's heart. And there's nothing that keeps that heart rate, that heartbeat of God from flowing through us. And it sounds, and the wave goes on and on to eternity, and the sound of His heart just flows through us. And Jesus said, rivers of living water flow through you. There's nothing stopping God's heart rate anymore, God's heartbeat. Nothing stops, but it flows freely through you. And you can be this river of living waters. You can let His rivers just flow through you. And that heart rate, that powerful heartbeat of God just flows through you wherever you are. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You know, light is also a wave. Can be a particle and a wave. His light can just flow through us. And the light just shines around us. And then we are the light in darkness. Jesus, you know, there's so much darkness. But He said, you're the light of the world. I'm the light and you're my light. Just let my light flow through you. And then wherever you go, you'll be light. So that people, you know, like we're reading Acts, they come up to you and it's like, Why are you so different? What's going on? I don't understand. I want to have what you have. In every revival in history, you know, things like that happened. You know, is God's light flowing through you? Are people coming up to you and say, I want to have what you have? Do they notice, like, you're so different. What do you have? And people need hope. People are searching. They're searching everywhere to find hope, to find a way to turn, to find security, peace. Their hearts are failing these days. And we have the answer. We have the answer to give to them. But do we block God's heartbeat from flowing through us? Or do we amplify his heart rate? Do we amplify his heartbeat so it flows all around us? Is our shadow healing the sick like in Acts? I don't think it was his shadow. I think it was God's glory that was on him. Isn't that what we want? I want it. Be still and know me. Let our hearts be in sync so that my glory can flow through you. My living waters can flow through you and change the world around you. We cannot change the world if we can't find rest in God. Whatever we do in our busyness, it doesn't count anything. It doesn't work, honestly. I can tell you from experience, it doesn't work. And even in Mali, you know, you get busy. There's so many things. I have so many things on my shoulders. Like, God, I need help, please. And it's so easy, you know, to be distracted and to try to do things in your own strength and not take time with God, but it's hard and it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't count eternally. But when we come into his presence, when we just lie in his arms and, you know, somebody once said, I'm too busy not to pray. We just take time, come to him, and our heart rate are in sync with his, and his heart was just amplified. And as his heart rate is amplified through us, and suddenly we experience Isaiah 40:31. We all know that one. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, those who rest in God, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I can't tell you how many times I've been weary. I've been tired. I've wanted to give up. But it's because I've tried to do my own strength. I tried to be a chicken, always on the ground, trying, searching, doing stuff. And I'm not called to be a chicken. I'm called to be an eagle. So that when you wait upon me, when you rest in me, then I'll renew your strength, and suddenly it's God's power flowing through you, and suddenly you find yourself floating on the winds of the Spirit. The waves of his heart would just lift you up like eagles. And you don't have to work. You just flow with the wind of the Spirit. It's so easy, and it's like, why is it this easy? And as the wind of the Spirit goes, you just, you know, go along, and you see what he sees, you hear what he hears, and whatever he tells you, you just do, and it's like easy. It's just easy. We just ride on the waves of his heartbeat, the winds of the Spirit. We're eagles. We have good view. Good view from up there and God's view, really. Seated in heavenly places with God. We're not made to be up down here on earth. We're seated in heavenly places. Now comes my favorite part. So excited when I think about it. And it is one thing, it's just one thing that makes God's heart rate go up, and that's you. So cool. When he thinks about you, his heart rate goes up. He's so excited because he loves you so much. When he thinks of you, his heart rate goes up. It's like, I love you. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. I have so many great things for you. I can't wait to show you. I can't wait to spend time with you. I can't wait to do all these things for you. And I'm so proud of you. You're so amazing. God loves us with such a love we cannot even imagine. You know, and Zephaniah 3:17 says, God sings over you, rejoices over you. You can read it for yourself. You don't believe me. God's so excited when he thinks about you. He loves you so much. And his heart rate goes way up at that time. And he just wants to have fun with you. And as you come and as you're in his arms and your heart rates become one, you know, he just wants to have fun with you and play with you and dance with you. And, you know, in his presence, there's no worry. No, there's no time even. You forget your watch. You forget whatever it's going on, you know, in this world. There's just him and you, and there's nothing else that counts. It's the best place to be. And we get to do this for all eternity. But, you know, it's not just for eternity. It's for here and now. It's for here and now. Jesus said, I'll give you life in abundance. Do you live an abundant life? I didn't most of my life. But God wants to give us life in abundance today. It's not for eternity. It's today. He's offering it to you today. It's up to you. It's your choice. You want to go watch TV or you want to go have the most amazing time with God? It's your choice, you know. Where's your priority? What do you really want? You want to change the world? Maybe not. I don't know. But do you want to beat your heart to beat with God's heartbeat? You want to hear what is in God's heartbeat. That's a whole other story. There's so much as you listen to his heartbeat that you can hear. You can hear what his heart beats for. And he will actually replace your heart with his heart. It's your choice. What do you want? You want to change the world around you? You want to be a carrier of his glory and his presence, that wherever you go, people run to you, say, I want to have what you have. When people come into your presence, they're instantly healed because sickness cannot be in God's presence. Is that what you want? Chris, if you can come back, please. Another thing that really fascinated me as I looked into God's word is that when God was angry with somebody, when God wanted to punish with somebody, you know what he says? You will not enter my rest. For God, that's the biggest punishment you could think of. It's like, you will not enter my rest. For example, Psalm 95:11, I declared an oath in my anger that shall never enter my rest. Or Hebrews 3:11-18, the disobedient don't enter his rest. Again, the same verse, they shall never enter my rest. To whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? Seems like a lot of us, we have chosen to punish ourselves with not entering his rest. But he says, make every effort. Make every effort to come to me to enter that rest. Be a resting place for me. If you want to be his resting place, stand up if you can and just hug him. He's so big, you can't do it anyway. But do you want to enter his rest? Just stand up. Just put your arms around him. Put your head on his torso and listen for his heartbeat. Say, God, I want my heart to beat in sync with yours. Let my heart beat in sync with yours. Search me, examine me, show me what keeps my heart from slowing down. Lord, forgive me where I have not come to you, where I have not given you a chance, where I have had my priorities not right. Just let his heart beat, just the waves of his heartbeat just flow through you. Wave after wave of his love, his presence, his glory, his healing. Let his heartbeat just flow through you over and over. Don't rush it, just stay in his presence. Listen to his heartbeat. And then from time to time, just raise your head and look into his eyes. Just look at his eyes and see the love he has for you. See how proud he is of you. See how much he rejoices over you. He's so excited. Let it. Father, I pray that you open eyes right now. That everybody here could see what you truly think of each one of them. Father, that they would see how much you love them. How proud you are, how excited you are. And he says, I will heal your heart. As you rest in me, I will heal your heart from all the pain of the past. There's freedom. I will free you from the things you've struggled with for so long. I will cleanse you, set you free. I'll make you holy as I am holy. I replace the lies the enemy has spoken to you. Other people have spoken to you. I replace them with my truth. Just stay in my arms. Just let me love you. Let me love on you and hold you. Let me change you. Let me give you a heart of flesh that beats in sync with mine. Let me heal your body because sickness cannot stand in my presence. Let me help you to forgive and give up that bitterness and that unforgiveness in your heart. Just be still and know me. Be still and know me. Be still and know me. I encourage you to just come and to run into to him and jump on his lap and into his arms. If you want to take your steps, say, God, I want to find rest in you. I want to live in your rest. And come forward as a step of commitment right now. Come forward and just come to him. Kneel, stand, whatever works best for you. And I'd love to pray for anyone who wants prayer. But really, you know, it's up to you to come to him. He can't wait. His arms are wide open. He can't wait for you to run and jump on his lap. Thank you, Daddy. We love you, Daddy. We love you. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. Father, release your love. As you hold your children, let your love just overwhelm them. Let your love just overwhelm us all, Lord. Lord, fill us with your joy. You're so full of joy. When you see us, you can only smile and laugh. And Lord, fill us with your joy that we would know your joy. And I take authority, all those lies the enemy planted in minds right now, and I say, truth, Lord, you're the truth, Jesus. I pray that you speak truth right now and chase all those lies away. We command every sickness right now to leave. There's no place for sickness. Every depression right now has to go in the name of Jesus. Speak freedom right now. Freedom from sin. Freedom from bad habits. Freedom from addiction right now. Say, be free. Be free. You're free to soar. You're free to soar like eagles. On the wind of the Spirit, you're free to soar.